And here's Davis once again experiencing frustration with Joseph E. Johnston. Davis knew how important Atlanta was. It's a rail center, a manufacturing and distribution center. Psychologically, it is clearly the second most important city in the Confederacy at this stage of the war. Only Richmond was more important. And so many other important cities in the West are already gone. New Orleans is gone, and Nashville is gone, and Memphis is gone, and Chattanooga is gone. Atlanta assumes greater and greater importance. Davis finally decided, because the fall of Atlanta could be so detrimental, hurt Southern morale so much, inflict such a crippling logistical blow, he decided that it was necessary to ease Johnston aside and try someone else in command of the Army of Tennessee. July 17th, Johnston is out. His replacement, John Bell Hood. Now, this proved to be a very controversial decision in hindsight, because as we'll see later, John Bell Hood proved to be a disastrous choice as an Army commander. He was not up to Army command, and he did a very poor job, especially during his Tennessee campaign of late 1864. So in retrospect, when former Confederates looked back at this period and wrote about it, they wrote about Davis's decision to remove Johnston, knowing that John Bell Hood would not do well. And they excoriated Davis, many of them, for replacing Johnston with Hood. How could you put Hood in place of Johnston, they asked. Well, there was much less of that sentiment at the time, although there was some of it. A number of people wondered whether Hood was really up to the task. Robert E. Lee, in a very carefully worded response to Jefferson Davis's question about Hood, at one point suggested that Hood was certainly a bold fighter, but whether he had the qualities necessary for authority and responsibility beyond that, Lee was not so sure about. What Davis was sure about is that Joseph Johnston had to go. And I think Johnston himself is mostly to blame. He never fully revealed his plans to Davis, who consequently suspected that Johnston didn't really have a plan. He had given up a great deal of ground. There was dissatisfaction from many quarters, and Davis thought the change necessary. Now, many of the men in the Army of Tennessee were upset when Johnston was removed. As I said, there was considerable friendly sentiment toward Johnston in the Army. But I think this has also been exaggerated after the fact. After it became clear how poor a job John Hood would do, many of the soldiers, when they wrote their post-war reminiscences, lamented the fact that Hood had replaced Johnston. But at the time, many of these soldiers said that although, in essence, they would say, although we like General Johnston, we admire him in some ways, we wish that he would put up a fight. We wish that he wouldn't give up so much ground. So I think opinion was mixed in the Army of Tennessee. Johnston's strategy of controlled withdrawal had not been without a fairly high cost. The best scholarly estimates, the recent estimates, suggest that Johnston suffered 15,000 to 20,000 casualties in the phase of the campaign that went from early May down through mid-July 1864. But now John Bell Hood is in command, a man with a reputation as a headlong fighter, first and foremost. Hardee was very upset by Hood's promotion. Hardee was senior to Hood. He left the Army, extremely unhappy with this. For duty elsewhere, he's off. We'll see him very late in the war, but not for a good long while. Sherman was probably quite pleased. Now he faced a man who probably would attack him, and we'll talk more about Hood's options in a later lecture as well. And this, an enemy attacking him, is something that Sherman would have welcomed. He might have a chance to break the numerically weaker Southern Army and then exploit his success. Phase one of the Atlanta campaign came to a close with Hood's elevation to command. Nearly 10 weeks of campaigning had elapsed, brought the Federals to the doorstep of Atlanta, but had not yielded the great prize of Atlanta. The fact that Hood is put in command isn't a cause for great rejoicing in the North. Northern morale is at a very difficult point at this stage of the war. The Northern people had expected success in Virginia and Georgia by this time. They didn't have it. Sherman was at Atlanta, but he wasn't in Atlanta. So this isn't a great victory. This isn't an inspiring campaign to this point. that is lifting Northern morale. Northern morale is edging toward its lowest point of the whole war at this stage, which makes it all the more vital that William Tecumseh Sherman get in to Atlanta. But we'll leave him here, the outskirts of Atlanta, and in our next lecture, we will take up Grant's part of the simultaneous advances of 1864, the great confrontation between Grant and Lee that would be at the heart of what came to be called the Overland Campaign.